I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Gwynn Jr.
How do you say the defensive end?
Unique Ngakoue.
Ngakoue.
And Chris Ello.
Okay, I'm honestly scared to do it in anyone's house but my own, let alone Dwayne Wade's house.
Too.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
That's the San Diego State men's basketball team. Welcome to hour number three, Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 5:04 is the time. And I'll tell you what, Tony, I watched the game the other night against New Mexico, and I said to somebody I was watching the game with in the first half, because it was a close game, I said, you know, every game that they play, at some point during the game, I think to myself, man, this might be the one that they lose. And then I feel like an idiot at the end of the game when they've won by 30 points again.
You know, it dawned on me watching this game against New Mexico. What they do is they overwhelm teams. Like, over the course of a 40-minute game, no matter what the first half looked like, they eventually overwhelm you, and there hasn't been one team that's been able to stand up to that.
Not yet. Not yet, and hopefully not too soon. Yanni Wetzel has been a star for the San Diego State basketball team all year long. The transfer from Vanderbilt joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Yanni, thanks so much for coming on the show. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well, thanks.
We are thrilled to have you and thrilled to watch you play 20 points, 9 rebounds the other day. Tell your teammates to calm down. This is your moment in the sun here. Anyway, Yanni, take us to the New Mexico game real quick. It seemed like they were throwing some more double teams at you that I've seen other teams throw this year. Did that seem the case to you?
To be aggressive as possible.
I'm sorry?
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, perfect.
Are you not hearing us, or are we not hearing you?
I missed you there for a second, but I think I got you back now.
Okay, all right, good. I asked about the New Mexico game. It seemed to me they were throwing a few more double teams than you've seen so far this year. Was that the case the other night? Did you have to make some adjustments?
Yeah. They kind of had a passive double where they had a guy sitting in the paint under the basket and just waiting for me to dribble. So I had to kind of draw the double and then pass the ball out of that. But I unfortunately turned it over a couple times, but once I started getting used to that double, I started finding some guys on cuts and that.
Yeah, and I want to take you back to, you know, when you were making the decision to transfer out of Vanderbilt. What put San Diego State at the top of that list for you?
The first day I was in the transfer portal, Coach Dutch reached out, so we created a relationship from day one. He came out to visit me himself. He didn't send an assistant coach, so I knew there was a lot of interest off the bat. So we met in Nashville, and then I decided that I was going to take two visits, and San Diego State was one of them, the other being Texas Tech. And when I came on my visit to San Diego State, I just loved the whole situation here. There's a great opportunity to play, and then obviously I fell in love with the program and the way Coach Dutch runs everything. Created a great relationship with Dave and a couple of the other assistants, and I played some 3-on-3 with Malachi and Nate, and just thought there were some great pieces, and we had a great opportunity to be an awesome team this year. So that was kind of a bunch of things kind of went into that decision, but I'm stoked I made that, made the right decision.
We are too.
I was going to say, man, you got to be not only a great athlete, but maybe a financial planner one day if you can predict stuff like this so well. Because there's really nobody could have predicted 25-0.
No.
And I just wonder how you guys are able to keep the focus night after night after night and go out there. And it doesn't seem like you're playing scared of your record necessarily. Like, you guys just seem to play every possession one at a time, let the game take care of itself, and that has worked for you.
Absolutely, yeah. We try to play as loose as possible at all times. And even when we're up and we know we're up 10 or 8 or just by a small margin, we got to keep playing loose. We can't tighten up because we know, with experienced guys, we know we've been in situations where if we do play tight, we give the opposing team a chance to kind of fight their way back into the game. So that's how we come and approach every game, and we play loose and we play like there's no pressure on us at all.
How have you guys been able to overwhelm your opponents the way we've seen? Because as I was talking to my partner Chris before you came on, you guys, no matter what happens in the first half, whether you get off to a 17-0 run or the game is close, or even if you guys are down a few times you have, you guys tend to overwhelm teams in that second half. Talk a little bit about the second half adjustments you guys seem to make week in and week out.
Yeah. Well, initially we try to separate ourselves on the defensive end. But the last few games, we have been quite close at halftime. So Coach Dutch and the assistants put us in great positions during the halftime. We make some adjustments, whether it's ball screen coverage or the way we defend a certain individual. And we all kind of adjust to it. We got some guys that have been in the system a while, so we can make those adjustments with ease. And it's just a matter of really the coaches putting us in great positions and us executing it on the floor.
Yanni Wetzel is with us from the 4-ranked San Diego State men's basketball team, undefeated and taking the city by storm. By the way, for those of you who might have missed it last week, or look it up, Google it, whatever you have to do, but find Mark Ziegler's story in the UT last week about Yanni Wetzel and his parents. Just a tremendous story, and hilarious and fun to read. And I think most people know by now you were a tennis player and then didn't play basketball until the age of 17. Now, you had a really good prediction leaving Vanderbilt and coming to San Diego State. What made you decide to play basketball? Because I think that was a pretty good choice, as it's turning out, too.
I think the whole world knows I used to be a tennis player now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Was your question about transferring from Vanderbilt or
just no? I'm sorry. Just why you decided to play basketball? Why you decided to take it up?
Yeah. A big reason was I grew about 6 inches in my senior.
Ah, that'll do it.
the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. So I started dabbling in a bit of a social basketball, and then obviously with the height that helped, and the athleticism was already there from tennis, including the footwork and that. So I was playing pretty well on my social league team and decided to try out for the high school team and ended up making the top side. And basketball started to creep in a bit more and tennis started to take a back seat. So I eventually made the junior national team and I decided, why not go for this? You know, I'm preferring putting an extra work for basketball instead of tennis. So just followed my heart in that one. And it turned out pretty well.
I would say so.
Congratulations, first of all, so by winning the Mountain West Conference regular season championship. What other goals do you guys still have, or do you talk about at this point at the 25-0 mark?
Yeah, we don't talk too much about the end goal, which we desire. You know, in the back of our minds, we want to win a national championship, of course, and we don't want to drop a game. But right now, we're focusing on staying undefeated in this conference season, and once we achieve that, which is our next goal, we'll start focusing on the conference championship, and then after that we'll move on to March Madness. But we don't talk too much about the national championship and March Madness right now, but we all have our own goals in the back of our head, so that's definitely there. But for the meantime, it's just staying undefeated.
Okay, that's good.
Sounds good with me.
Hey, two San Diego State guys here, Yanni. We've loved watching you play this year. Thanks for the time. Thanks for all the excitement this year, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Yanni.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha. There he is, Yanni Wetzel from the San Diego State 4th-ranked basketball team in the nation. They've been 4th-ranked now for like a month.
It's a
beautiful
thing.
Like old hat. You know,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be old hat.
No.
I mean, it's really remarkable for them to be number 4 in the nation and undefeated. And Wetzel has been just tremendous. I mean, I don't think anybody could have expected to get as much as they've gotten out of him and obviously everybody else. All right, great stuff from Yanni Wetzel there. Aztec's next stop on their undefeated tour is Boise, Idaho, Sunday. They got another one of those Sunday games coming up here, Tony, against Boise State. And Boise State's always, you know, I'm going to say it again, it's a tough game because they're on the road, and Boise State's, you know, a decent caliber team. They're in second place in the conference, although five games behind the Aztecs, they're still in second place.
Well, you don't lose any games, it's hard to catch the other team.
No. Yeah. I mean, the Aztecs have clinched the conference championship with 3 weeks to go in the regular season. That is unheard of in basketball or pretty much any sport.
Four games ago, they've already clinched.
That's crazy. All right, so great having Yanni Wetzel on. Program keeps rolling. Our countdown's coming up at the bottom of the hour. More on the Houston Astros and their sorry excuse today for cheating. We'll have that when we return. It's Chris Ello right here. Tony Gwynn Jr. there. Thanks again to Yanni Wetzel.
Showing up in 2017 you know, once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
We don't believe you, Justin
Verlander.
I can't believe that he couldn't bring himself to say something. I mean, all the times he's popped off about everybody
else. He was too busy ripping on everybody else's situation to say something about his own situation.
How interesting. Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Talking about the attempted apology by the Houston Astros,
that's a great way to put it.
They missed the mark by a really wide margin. And, you know, we focused mainly on the players today and a lot of things they said, but I think the focus has to be on Mr. Jim Crane.
He's got to take more heat than anybody combined.
From the moment the Major League Baseball came out with their punishments, it's almost like they have done their best to shield Jim Crane from any type of, obviously, punishment himself. I mean, yes, he had to give up $5 million, which I promise you isn't hurting him.
No. He's lost his entire reputation, though, and any credibility he's ever had.
But and he
I
continues.
Think he's done that on his own. He was not punished that.
Right.
He's done that to himself.
He's continued to do that by continuing to act as though he has no feel for the situation.
You're talking about no feel for the situation. Well, this is Jim Crane earlier during the press conference, which shows the no feel for the situation.
You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
That part is going to remain funny.
That was 50.
That, now, we cut it to make, you know, because we have to obviously time constraints on the air here. But that was 55 seconds apart from the time he said that we didn't think it had, in our opinion, it didn't have an effect on the game.
55
seconds. Yeah, less than a minute later, he said,
I never said that. Yeah, it's already backpedaling.
And that's again, we talk about this. I don't think it's a coincidence, right, that you've had prior to this investigation ending. We had the incident with the assistant GM talking crazy to the young lady that was in the clubhouse.
That's right.
And
refresh me again. It was about Osuna.
It was about
Osuna. They had signed him.
He randomly decided to yell,
"I'm glad we signed Osuna."
Even though he blew the game that day, by the way.
Yeah.
And so that's just one part. So I guess none of this really surprises any of us because, as we've talked about in other organizations, it works from the top down. I think we talked about with the Browns. If the top of the organization isn't on its P's and Q's, guess what? That's going to trickle down all the way to the players down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by no surprise, at least in my mind, that Jim Crane seems to have no feel because his employees had no feel.
I'm surprised they were able to win a World Series title under his ownership, to be honest with you, because honestly, what you talked about is a trickling down from ownership. I mean, just ask anybody who used to root for the Clippers. Mm. Ask anybody who used to or still tries to root for the Chargers. I mean, if you have lousy ownership, it's really difficult to have a good team. and the Astros have been able to have a good team, but maybe the only reason they had a good team is because they cheated. Now,
or maybe he wasn't always how he is right now. Maybe the success of the Astros have
gone to his head a little bit. Thinking. Well, he also said something to the effect today that he takes no responsibility at all for this happening.
How do you fix your mouth to say something like that?
My goodness, when you are the owner of a franchise and you have the audacity to say that I take no responsibility at all, I mean, that's that's hard for anybody to comprehend. Here was Jim Crane on that.
Jim, you mentioned right off the top there that the players did not receive proper guidance from their leaders. But the league's official report says it was a player-driven scheme. Do you think it was not driven by the players? Or why do you absolve the players, it sounds like, of blame for this?
Well, the commissioner's report was very thorough, and they did a lot of work on it. Where the commissioner came down, which I agree with him, is that it could have been stopped, and it wasn't stopped, and people had knowledge of it based upon the report. So we hold those two guys accountable for what happened and not stopping that action.
What two guys? Beltran and Cora?
No,
he's talking AJ Hinch and Lunau.
Oh. You know, when Jim Crane very first came out and fired those guys, he was a hero. Well, I wouldn't say hero. It was at least
he was praised though for the move.
It was praised, and it was to me now. I look back on it; it was just a grandstand move.
100%.
That's all it was. Now, I mean, it's lost all of its input, all of its impact. Now that he's come out this way, it was a grandstand move to try to make him look good, try to absolve him of all the blame, and try to get everybody on his side. But the things he said today have wrecked his credibility for. Ever and ever, I think. I don't know how he's going to get any credibility back. And only the Houston Astro fans are going to stick by him.
You said something very interesting. And it made me think back to A.J. Hinch's interview he did on MLB Network. Remember, he said he got to work that day that he was fired like it was any other day. Like, so there was no inkling in his mind that he could be fired.
Right.
And then you say that it was, then you brought up the point of it being a kind of a grandstand. It's almost like he came up with it that day and was like, you know what, this will make me look like I am being proactive in
it
the
will
entire.
It will make me look good if I do this. So, and I had even asked you at the time if whether he was tweaked by Major League Baseball to fire them. You didn't think that was the case. I now don't think that was the case either. I think it was just a grandstand move solely made by Jim Crane to try and get to try and make himself look good. But whatever he did that day, he wiped it out today. No question about it. If you're just tuning in and you didn't, the Astros threw together this press conference today. It was a complete mess.
They had disaster.
Alex Bregman come up and read from a piece of paper that then flew away from the stand. The podium.
He had it memorized though, reading. So no worries.
He did have it memorized. He must have worked on it for 5 days, and it just came off with all of the sincerity of a kick in the you-know-what. Jose Altuve was also thrown to the lions out there today, even though he doesn't, you know, speak that good of English, and I thought that was terribly unfair. Mike Meltzer, who was on with us from Houston earlier, I mean, he brought up that the PR department really should be slammed a little bit for this, and they should. I'm sure ownership and people above them had the say, but this is where you got to step in as a public relations department saying, no, we can't either, A, we can't do this, or B, we got to do this in a different way than we're doing it.
What Mike Meltzer said was perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
All they needed to do was just open the doors.
Yeah.
Reporters in baseball, it's a little different. There's not only person who has a scrum most of the time is the manager. Everybody else, it's free reign.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have come off a lot better. We wouldn't be so focused in on the podium and the actual conference. It would have just been a regular day of news in terms of how the reporters got the story. They would have walked in. They would have talked to the guys they wanted to talk to. We would have heard the sound bites. But we wouldn't be talking about Jim Crane and him absolving himself from any responsibility. We wouldn't be talking about how robotic Bregman looked up there regurgitating something he had studied all night.
See, I don't necessarily agree with Chris about putting Jose Altuve out there and it being bad for the Astros to have done that, because Jose Altuve was in the middle of this all. He was the MVP that year.
I don't think Chris is saying hide him. It's like, don't put him on a podium. Just put him in front of his locker.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they should have done that. He needs to take his medicine a little bit.
This isn't about taking medicine. This is about public relations, taking his medicine. He could have did that right in front of his locker, could have took his medicine. He ended up doing the same exact thing 10 minutes later in the locker room.
Why did he have to do it twice? I think it's difficult to put a guy that doesn't speak English as a second language and put him up there in front of a firing line of questions.
As the spokesman?
I think that's tough. It's tough on him. And I'm not, I don't feel sorry for him. I'm not sticking up for him. These guys are going to all take their medicine every single time they come to the plate
every
for an
time.
Entire season.
Yeah.
Like we said, the second weekend of the season they play in Anaheim. Tell me that there's not going to be a few Dodger fans down at those games.
Oh, man. All right, we got to get to break. When we come back, we got a countdown ahead. And top five reasons, since spring training is right around the corner, to go to spring training.
To boo the Astros.
That should be number one on most Grapefruit League's list. This is Gwynn and Chris said it was number one sports station. 97.3, The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. I'm just worried. I got like a piece of apple caught in my
throat. He pointed to Tony, and Tony gave the air drums.
I know, Tony didn't talk. I was like, Tony, you better save me here.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
I'm heading down the tube. No, I think I'm okay now. Yanni Wetzel was on the show earlier. San Diego Stater and all guests that do come on the Gwynn and Chris program. Courtesy of the SDCCU Fan Hotline, San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU-4U or visit sdccu.com. And while we're on the subject of thanking people, we want to thank our great friends at Sonic here in San Diego. Yes, thank you, Tony. Eight great locations around town. And you can Google Sonic San Diego to find the one closest to you. All right, let's just keep it going. It's time for the countdown. And the countdown happens to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego, Thomas. But first, let's check traffic. How did I get all that in?
This report is brought to you by Spectrum Business, southbound 5 and 805, just a parking lot from the split with trouble on both freeways. Fire crews blocked the right lane with an accident southbound 5 south of Nobel. CHP's running a traffic break there to warn approaching traffic. And a road rage incident resulted in an accident on southbound 805, just south of Claremont Mesa Boulevard. CHP says everybody's now calm. Traffic break here also on southbound 15. This fender bender is just north of El Cajon Boulevard. And drivers swerving to avoid some furniture. A dining chair and or a couch in the left lanes, southbound 15 just north of Mira Mesa Boulevard, 15 south barely rolling from well north of the 163. Spectrum Business does business differently. They don't add phone taxes or hidden fees to their prices. So when they say you get their best offer ever on internet and phone for only $64.98 per month, that's all you'll pay. See the Vincent with Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm just, I don't know if I want to get to the countdown. I was thinking of just doing top five commercial reads that I can do on the program. No, instead, we're going to go with the countdown subject, which is top five reasons, actually, to go to spring training. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony Gwynn Jr., are you ready for this category?
Indeed, I am.
All right. Who do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Number five.
Not necessarily for us out here in Southern California, but for a lot of the country, one of the best reasons to go to spring training is the weather. It's nice, warm, high skies. Pretty much everything you want if you're in snowy conditions at this point. And I think that's why, I mean, I don't think that's why, I know that's why spring training is so important to a lot of families across the United States, whether it's the Grapefruit League in Florida or whether it's the Cactus League in Arizona. You see a lot of families come spring break,
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm right on down to spring training and catch some games.
Get to unpack their t-shirts.
Yes.
Which have been packed away for months and months and months. I thought you were going to say the number five reason to go to spring training is I had to go to spring training if I wanted to make the team. Oh. That might be your number one reason, though. I might be getting ahead of myself. All right. Here's the number five thing I like about spring training. It's something that I'm weird about, but I think it's kind of fun. I like to see pitchers running in the outfield as the game is going along.
Poles. This is what they call those.
From one, the right field foul pole to the left field foul pole and back. I just think it's kind of an odd sight. You're certainly not used to ever seeing it during a regular game. But in spring training, once in a while, pitchers will throw a few innings. And then during the course of the game, you'll see them running on the warning track. Have you ever almost run into one of your pitchers or somebody while you were going back for a fly ball in a spring training game?
No, but I've almost been ran into. You know, they made this in L.A., they made the starters, whoever came out the game, you had to get your sprints in.
Okay.
So there'd be position players out there running sprints, and I've almost been trucked by an outfielder before.
Trucked by an outfielder while you're doing your sprints. I don't know, one of the little fun things I like about spring training. It's only number five.
That is the most bizarre thing to me.
It is. It was bizarre for me for a long time.
I mean,
like,
it's professional
as a kid
sports.
Watching this, it's like, why is he running on the field right now?
Number one. So number two, it's not like they don't have a big enough, you know, the Peoria Springs sports complex. There's plenty of room to go for a run. You don't have to run on the field.
I'll spot you the idea back in Yuma when we were there. Okay, that makes sense. But they got big enough facility now.
Yeah.
Number four.
Number four for me, I'm going to bounce back between 10 reasons as a fan, reasons as a player. As a player, number four on the list, new gear.
Oh,
you walk in there.
Fresh new gear.
If you're a Nike guy, you got a couple Nike boxes in there. You got your BGs, a.k.a. batting gloves, for those who didn't know what that
How
was.
How many pairs do you get?
BGs. In spring training, you get about two boxes that are about five pair each.
So you get about 10 pair of batting gloves to just open with.
Right.
And then you have to buy them when you run out?
No, you don't have to buy them. You just have
you
to
just go tell
ask
somebody
for
you're
some
out.
More.
You have to buy your bat, though, right? Or your bats?
Nope. Team buys the bats. Which is a good thing and a bad thing, right? Good thing because
you
don't
have to
pay.
You have to buy your glove.
No. I mean, it depends. It depends. If you
your
if,
cleats? Cleats. You got to buy your cleats.
Nope.
Your hat?
Let me. I'm only speaking from personal experience. If you have some type of deal with a Rawlings,
right,
Nike, they kind of carry all that stuff. Good thing about it, teams do buy the bats. The good thing about that is the teams pay for it. Bad thing is those aren't your bats. So if they don't want to give them to you, they get to keep them. I told you guys a story about my father, right?
No. Which one? No.
So one day we came to the stadium back at Qualcomm, And you remember the big fan store they had, the souvenir store they had.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it was one of the bigger ones. We were walking by the window, going, getting ready to get on the elevator to go down to the clubhouse, and he looked in the window and he saw one of his game bats. And he was like, perplexed. Like, he didn't, like, how did this bat get there? So he got down to the locker room, and Brian Pillman, who was the head clubhouse guy at the time, was like, well, we own the bats. We bought them.
So we want to sell one of yours.
So we, you know, we decided to use it.
So did he, like, take it from his
cubby hole? He was hot.
No, I'm saying, did they take it from your dad, like,
it was
cubby
a gamer.
Hole?
Yes, it was a gamer. So he was pissed.
Why would you mess around with a Tony Gwynn bat?
So from that day forward, this must have been 87, 88. From that day forward, he bought all of his bats.
Oh, he just bought his own. Like,
that's where I got that mess with thought.
You are not going to be able to take bats without asking me.
There you go.
That was his...
that was his solution to his, that problem.
Exactly.
Very good. All right, number four reason to go to spring training. For me, especially in Arizona, I don't really know about this in Florida because I've never been down there for spring training, but I think it's amazing that you can go down to Phoenix, get off the airplane, and be within about 15 to 20 miles of 20 different major league teams. I mean, that's just amazingly cool to me. I mean, obviously the Mariners and the Padres share their site there in Peoria, but I mean, you got Glendale, you got Surprise, you got Maryvale, you got all, you know, all of them, and they're everywhere. If you were a baseball junkie, you could go for a weekend and you could catch about 8 games if you wanted to. Yeah. And I think that's just a very cool thing about spring training. Everybody is so close together and compact. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, do the Padres take a bus to away games? Yes. In spring training, yes. But not everybody has to get on the bus.
No,
can't certain
can,
guys drive yourself?
Guys can drive. If you got permission, you can drive.
Permission, you can drive yourself, yeah. It's just kind of a cool, it's a neat feeling to be in Phoenix in the month of March and just know that you're surrounded by baseball.
Number three.
I'm going to bounce back to the fan side, and it's kind of along the lines of what Chris just said. Because there are 15 teams out in Phoenix, you can catch more than just your team. You can catch, as you said, 15 teams in a matter of 4 days and watch different teams play.
Yeah.
Catch a night game, catch a day game. It's just a perfect experience. It's not like that in Florida. It's only unique to Arizona. Florida is spread out something ridiculous.
Did you ever have a spring training team?
Unfortunately, I had
the Dodgers.
No, Dodgers had moved to Phoenix by that time.
Okay.
But Philly was in Clearwater.
Philadelphia had to be in Clearwater.
Yes.
So was that like plane trips or long bus
rides?
No,
it was like 7-8 hour bus rides.
For major league ball players?
Yes. Fort Myers. If you're going from Clearwater to Fort Myers, 7 hours.
Well, that's what you get for not buying your own bats. I thought when I was in the minor leagues with the Gulls and doing their games and we were taking 7-hour bus rides, I would have never thought a major league ball player would ever have to do that.
That's why I like the vets, the guys who are the starters. Most of them don't make that trip.
Oh, they just don't play
in that
game?
They don't play in that game. They wait for that game to come to them.
I see. All right, fair enough. Number three, I'm looking out for all of you out there, but if you go down to spring training, the games are somewhat much more affordable. I think that's a good reason to go to spring training. You can't always get into a ball game anymore. I mean,
oh, you hear about this one again on the list.
Okay, because tickets for baseball games are, last I checked, pretty expensive. Not so much as spring training. You can get in, see a few ball games, and get out of there without donating your half your closet.
Number two,
back to the player side of it. I enjoy getting back on a major league cut field. And I'm talking grass, dirt. Is there something about the way your cleats sink into, like, big league infields? I enjoy that part. Just one of the little things that probably not everybody is into. I'm into it. It's my second favorite thing.
The smell of the grass. Everybody, I think, as a youngster, remembers the first sight of the first grass that
100%.
They saw in the first stadium they ever walked
100%.
Into.
100%. Except for Scraby, apparently.
I mean, I've never...
Scraby think, oh, that's so stupid.
No? You know. Well, that is stupid, but... No, I think the first time I ever went, not that you guys asked, probably a 49er game, honestly, at Candlestick Park.
You can get the same type of cut grass feeling at a football game.
Yeah, but not the same.
The Giants also played it. It'll stick too.
Yeah, but they didn't have. Oh no, did they have grass when you were a kid? Because they had artificial turf for a long time.
Oh no, they had grass. Park. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. At Candlestick?
That. Oh yeah, way back when. In the 70s, I must tell you, Tony, almost every team had artificial turf. Almost every team. You would have.
Wonder why everybody's knees are hurting from that time.
If you played in the 70s, you probably played on artificial turf more than half your games, at least.
Number one.
Wait, I'm still on number two. My number two reason to like spring training, I'm sure that this is only something that I like. I love to see number 86 come to the plate and hit a double into the gap and score number 64, who's nearly thrown out of the plate by number 59. I just think it's kind of fun. It's different. Obviously, nobody wears those numbers during the course of a season, but I get a kick out of watching those guys come to the plate and getting their chance, if the young guys.
If we were doing a list of top five things you don't like as a broadcaster.
Like, oh, as a broadcaster, you hate it. You can't find the guy in the list at all.
You can't say his name.
No,
he's just 56.
I agree with that. But I just think as a fan, it's kind of fun to watch number 84 come to the plate or whoever it is. And, you know, just about every young player who's ever come up through the big leagues has had to do it, including one Tony Gwynn Sr., because I know I have the baseball card of him wearing what? Number 53.
In
1982 when he was in spring training before he made the club and got the famous number 19. So everybody's got to start somewhere.
Number one.
All right, changed my mind. I was number one on my list was the price of tickets, but since you've already used it, I'm going to pivot.
Okay.
And I'm going to go from a player standpoint, your wood bats. This is the first time you get your new lumber. You walk in, got your little sticker on there with your number. You pull it out, and it's just something about good, brand-new baseball
bats. It's
got to
be like Christmas morning for a player to walk into a clubhouse, and there's so many things there for you.
Especially in spring training, because everything is sent prior to you getting there. So you walk in. Mm-hmm. Man, it's like Christmas.
Is it a little like... I mean, throw a couple of examples. Does Eric Hosmer's locker or Manny Machado's locker, is it a lot more stacked full of stuff than so-and-so's locker down
the line? A guy like my locker would have had, like, the two boxes of shoes, some turfs and some cleats,
right,
the two box of batting gloves, my two new gloves, and that's probably where it ends. For a guy like Manny and Haas, they got about seven boxes, and in Manny's case, they're all Jordans. He's got... 3-4 boxes of batting gloves, all Jordan. Jeez. And he's probably got some stuff that he doesn't even know what it is yet. He's still going to search through his boxes to find out.
I would never want to be a clubhouse guy. That just sounds like so much organization.
It is.
And following up with stuff.
Spencer and those guys in that clubhouse are some of the hardest working people.
Yes, they are.
No.
And you notice that if you're any kind of in the media, just hanging out in the clubhouse, because the players, they don't want to talk to you, and they're nowhere to be found. But there's 50 clubhouse guys running all over the place doing work while you're standing there with a microphone hoping to interview somebody.
100%.
My number one reason why spring training is the greatest thing, and I this one came immediately to mind, for the fans, but you have a chance to get so close to the players.
Yes.
Not the same way as you do in a big league game during the regular season. Now you can if you get to the ballpark 2.5 hours
before,
early or whatever. But only before. But during a game, man, you can talk to these guys. They're right there. They're walking around the complex. Sometimes you can sidle up to a guy. Anyway, I just think that's a very cool thing about spring training is how close the players can get to the fans. You really feel like you're a part of it.
One bonus one, just to back that up. I agree. That's probably the best part is... not necessarily during the game, but when they're doing their pre-work around 11 o'clock. And in spring training, most facilities allow for fans to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the closest you get to seeing what goes into their preparation for games. I always thought that was pretty cool. You can get autographs as guys are going from one field to the next field. It's a pretty cool set. Most of this I attribute to Arizona because it's much easier to get around.
Right. Did you ever, because, I mean, you got the Gwynn name. Did you ever have a situation where you just kind of had to get somewhere because it was your turn to go hit or something, and you had to turn down a bunch of autograph seekers? Because I think people don't ever understand it when they're told no.
Yeah.
Even the nicest of players sometimes have to say no. Right.
Yeah, that's a fact. That happens to everybody. That happens to literally every player.
Yeah.
I Some guys try to find their way back, but sometimes in the course of a workday, you just can't do it. You got other things that are a little bit higher of a priority to get done in terms of getting yourself ready for a game that day or whatever it may be, and you can't. But I think for the most part, especially in spring training, guys do a pretty good job of trying to get to the fans because they recognize, and especially in spring training, that's really their one and only time to get that close.
Yeah. Well, keep that in mind, though, when you're down in Peoria. If you ask a guy for an autograph and he says, look, I got to go hit, he probably has to go hit. So it's not the end of the world. You don't have to share the story with everybody you know and say, you know, so-and-so is the biggest bleep I've ever met because he turned me down for an autograph. You know, sometimes the guy just has to go somewhere and actually do some work. So I'm just for you fans out there. Have fun in Peoria. We'll be down there the first week of March. And there's our countdown for today.
That's all for the countdown on 97.3 The Fan.
And the countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 29 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you. All right, 5:52 is the time. It's Gwen and Chris. Coming up is the happy hour, which will include a...
Tony refuses to look at me anymore.
He's just being ridiculous.
Don't blame him.
I was just making a punctuation with my hand.
Why?
Because
such a weirdo.
You're always doing that. You really should be a third base coach in another life.
Oh, man. Watch my shoulder. It's really good. Like, go, 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 go,
no, it's not good. It looks like it's coming out of place every time you do that. Please stop.
Because it is.
We've got someone
on line. Like
you're
injuring yourself.
Line one that wants to share a spring training story about Tony Sr.
Oh. Adam in Spring Valley may share that story. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
We're good,
Adam.
So, yeah, I was a kid. My first spring training experience ever, and the Padres were going to be playing the Mariners. And at the time, Alex Rodriguez was my favorite baseball player. I wanted to get his autograph. He didn't play that day, but Tony Gwynn Sr. was out there and finding balls, and so I ended up picking up a Seattle Mariner baseball because I wanted to get Alex Rodriguez's autograph, and I had to take that up to Tony Gwynn Sr. and hand him that ball, and I just remember him, I handed it to him, and he looks at it, and he's like, what's this? And I remember putting my head down, like peering one eye up, and he chuckled, and he signed it for me, and that was one of my greatest, fondest memories of spring training, especially as a kid. So that was a really big. Really
just
big
out of curiosity, that's like what, 20 years ago, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
It's amazing how that moment in time.
And
can last.
Adam, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for sharing that. That's an important thing that I was just having this conversation with a parent. Maybe this past weekend, about the one time that you get that autograph, that is ingrained in your mind forever. So imagine that experience going the opposite way for a kid. It could push them completely away from the game that they love, or at least they think they love
at
that point.
If you're rude or something.
Yeah, you just have to, you just
99.99% of the time, guys are very kind about it.
And no doubt.
Very good about it. And
the cold part is it could just be a guy could just be having a bad day. And that is the one day that a kid shows up and may ask. So just be aware of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic to be sure. All right. MLB Network has been counting down its top 100 players right now, like currently. You will never guess where Fernando Tatis Jr. ranks on this list, especially in comparison to Manny Machado. We're going to kick that around a little bit when we come back from our top of the hour break. Also coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, heads up, everybody. It's a Chris Ello pop quiz.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Who won the last pop quiz?
Not Scraby.
No, definitely not me.
I just know it wasn't
Thomas,
Scraby.
You know who won the last pop quiz?
Tony, you're awesome, baby, with a capital A.
Oh, is that Dickie V the other day?
That was Dickie V the other day.
I love that. That's so awesome. That's great that Dickie V. Was he good?
He was really good.
Was he great?
So,
what did he say about Tony, the Aztecs?
he He said, because I had brought up the fact that some of the fans were a little perturbed that they were only fourth on that top 16.
Right, right, right.
He was like, they just got to keep playing. Play the schedule. I don't want to hear anything about wanting to lose purposely so you can get a 2 seed in the West. You're going to have to play and win, what, 6 games it is in the tournament? Do it.
That's
he's,
it.
But he likes the San Diego State squad, though.
That was good. That's a perfect thing that he should say, because that's what I've been saying and what I think this team's attitude has been all along. Gwen and Chris coming back. Hour number four, the happy hour on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.